When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. It's Gerald Glasser. Come right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week, wherever you get your podcasts. Inside sports, fantasy football. We'll be covering the NFL draft once it's finished. After what, 4, 5, 7, 20 days it's done, we will cover the winners and losers of the NFL draft and how it affects your fantasy football team coming up on Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Also as well, Joe Sora, he'll be joining us. He was trying to get back at me, trying to get back at Sean, trying to get back at everyone after what we saw tonight. And I'm sure you're going to be on pins and needles on what he thinks. So go ahead and make sure you check out what he does at Ox1947 at LakersBall.com. Plus, of course, his company you do need to support. Simblades.com. Before I forget, I want to give a big shout out to everybody that was on tonight for the most important game of the year on playback. Sean for heading it up. Laker Nick, Henry Hill, Joe, absolutely fantastic. But a big shout out to Frank the Tank from the Houston Chop Shop. Please, if you get a chance, like, share, subscribe, support to what he does at the Houston Chop Shop. If you want any information on the Houston Rockets, there's no better guy to break it down for you than, of course, Frank the Tank at the Houston Chop Shop. But also as well, you've got John Costa right above me. He is the guy behind Lakers Corner and Clutch Talk. Also as well, big shout out to Stone Hansen. He is doing a lot of NBA draft work at report_court on Twitter. You know, Laker Tom is probably wallowing in his Coca-Cola. And you know he's doing so. Jamie might be playing some of the banjos, some sad songs for the Lakers. And he might be doing so. But again, they'll be talking about it at LakerHolics.com. Plus also as well, of course, Empire Jeff TV, Lakers in 5, Daniel Berry Sports Highlights, Yo, John McCalion, and everybody else. Please go ahead and support all these great channels. But most importantly, please like, follow, and subscribe to us. No matter when our season ends, we will continue to be on. We're not one of those channels that just checks on out after the season's over. We are here well over 300 days of year. So we are here as virtually many days as we can, and we'll be here for you through the thick and thin, the highs and lows, the wins and losses, right here for you at the Lakers Fast Break. But you need to help support us as well by liking, subscribing, and do whatever you can to go ahead and check us out here at the Lakers Fast Break. Well, the Lakers come in tonight with the most important game of the year. Backs up against the wall, down 2-0 at home. Talked about in the pregame what they needed to do. And again, just like a broken record, the Lakers came out strong in the first half, especially right out of the gate. Took an early lead, got as high as, again, stop me if you've heard this before, double digits. But a short lead at halftime turned effectively nil as the Denver Nuggets turned it on once again in the third quarter and outscored the Lakers 34-22 in the third quarter. And basically that was all she wrote from there. The Lakers seemingly gave up in the fourth quarter. Didn't mount a substantial comeback. Let me give you a stat. The team, the Lakers, they shot 5 of 27 from the three-point line. And for their, we were, I think, one out of the first 15 So yes, when they needed it the most, they got it the least. D'Angelo Russell was a no-show, 0 points. A guy who wants to collect this summer has shown he just cannot get it done in a postseason consistently and got a big zero today. Rui Hachimura built upon his three-point game on Tuesday with a five-point game today. Didn't get it done. Only four shots in 28 minutes. And the Lakers bench, once again, only gave us a little bit better, a little bit more, but not enough, as the Lakers really just poor execution, poor coaching. Again, a organizational effort goes in the toilet again. And we see where this happens and see where this goes from here, as the Lakers are on the brink of elimination and their season being over with a loss tonight against the Denver Nuggets. And here today to go ahead and discuss tonight's loss, which was 112-105. Good man indeed. First up, first man here, it is the madman from Toronto. He did get out of Toronto traffic to watch this mess once again. It is Sean Grice. And Sean, great to have you here. I'm sorry that our 2.5 hours was wasted on this terrible second half performance, but again, it's the same old suspects. It was like a broken record. What happened in game one, happened in game two, and happened again in game three.
Gerald, well, the result of the game was absolutely terrible. It was good company. So that much we could take away. Thank you very much, everyone who was by on playback, including Gerald and Joe, who watched the slog along with the rest of us. Gerald, just to cap it off, a really good start for the Lakers. 33-23, that first quarter was the best quarter they played in about a month, even though they have picked up the intensity a little bit. They were attacking the rim with vigor. There was attention to detail in defensive rotations. They created four turnovers in the first 8 minutes, Gerald, which is about as many as the Denver Nuggets surrendered all of game two. So there was a clear and purposeful action to what they were doing. However, it all went to crap pretty damn quickly. Three things just stand out right away. Don't even need to look at the stat sheet. Just watch the game. So the first one is, again, you have a lead against the defending champs in the first quarter, and you give up a quarter where you're outscored by 12 or more. Outscored by 14 in the first game, outscored 12 in the fourth quarter in the second game, outscored by 12 again in the third quarter of the third game. That's number one. So that comes down to coaching adjustments. You're coming out of the half and you're not prepared and you're not ready and you didn't make adjustments and the other team rolled you. Two, with myself, John, you, Joe, it's a broken record, but it needs to be said again. It's the glaring lack of purpose on the defensive glass. You're giving up way too many opportunities again. And if it's not bad enough giving up easy backdoor cuts off of screens, flares, whatever you want to talk about, you give up wide open corner threes and you still can't corral offensive rebounds. You still can't corral Jokic, Gordon underneath that bucket to secure a board and move in transition. Thirdly, and most importantly, is you went back to iso ball again. We saw it in the second quarter, Gerald. It was 37-31 for the Lakers, and that's when things started to fall apart. It was very, very indicative that for whatever reason, they decided again to go to trying to freeze Denver's defense in the middle of the floor, or LeBron on the block trying to back down Murray or trying to back down KCP. And it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. But it's, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day, just not when you're playing the Denver Nuggets and you're the LA Lakers. Those three things stood out significantly. And you don't need a stat sheet. I don't need one. We saw what happened. And, you know, we could talk about the secondary issues, but those three are just at the top of the list right now.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. It is Magic Man Sean Grice, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much again for watching, listening. The Lakers do lose 112-105. They're down 3-0. Next game is Saturday, and I know a lot of people might be having a good Saturday by taking it off, but we're going to be here. At least I will be here. I don't know who will be with me, but I will be here on Saturday through the thick and thin. But also here today, good man indeed. He was the president of the D'Angelo Russell Fan Club. I believe he has stepped down from his position there. It is a good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out today at, of course, Lakers Corner and Clutch Talk. It is John Costa. John, great to have you here. I wanted to mention, as the game progressed and D'Lo kept breaking more shots, the Lakers kept missing more shots in that fourth quarter, you can hear more and more boos. And also, the quote, fire ham being chanted throughout the arena. Before I get it to you, my friend, Darvin Ham always has a quote after the game that always piques your interest, John. So I thought I'd go ahead and share with you now. I'm sure Joe will like to respond to it too. So here goes. Darvin Ham said after the game, that's the way the game goes. It's a make or miss league. We have to just keep the scoreboard moving.
Man, honestly,
just keep it moving.
You know, we need to keep moving. We need to keep this head coach moving. Go ahead, move on out of that seat. That's what we need. Keep it moving by go to another team or go to the freaking G League. Go coach anywhere else besides the Los Angeles Lakers. Man, guys, you know, like, I was watching this game in the first half, and in the first quarter, like, I really was convinced the fact that, like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe we can get game three. Because, like, in my mind, I was like, no way we get swept again. It's going to be Nuggets in five, you know, maybe, you know, I was hoping maybe a Nuggets in six, you know what I'm saying? But when I was being
realistic. Xbox is killing me. You'll forgive me, John. You'll forgive me. He's like, he's so mad right now. He wants to quit his job, or he works in a bank and somebody wants to get a Porsche. He's like, you got to get a Porsche today? Hell no, you ain't getting no Porsche today. Don't ask me for a loan after the Lakers lost.
Nah, he's real about that. Xbox had me weak when he said I want to quit my job. And shout out Sports Baby too, because Sports Baby gave the great take, where he said Darvin Ham was hired by Jordan to make sure LeBron doesn't get enough rings. And honestly, I said this last stream, and it really looks like it's true, because you can't tell me why in crunch time minutes, in literally the most important game of our season, we're giving TP all these minutes. And I know D'Angelo Russell had 0 points and was 0-for-7 and whatnot. And feel free, please, anybody out there in the chat or any three of you guys, please tell me if you disagree. But I'm taking D'Angelo. Basketball is a make or miss league. Like, that is true. That's one thing I'll give Darvin Ham credit for. It is a make or miss league. But basketball is all about rhythm. And it's like, when you see one go through the rim, You're just gonna keep it going. You just gotta find that jumper. I know it's like shooting is, once you find your jumper, it's over. And I know D'Angelo Russell couldn't find his jumper anywhere. This man was searching for his jumper like we search for a freaking someone that gets lost in the ocean or something like that. But what I'll say is, in my opinion, again, please tell me if you guys disagree, I still would rather keep D'Angelo Russell out there over Torian Prince, just to, Eventually you'll hit. And I think that in this moment, in these, you know, key clutch moments, they still went with, you know, Ham still went with Torian Prince, and it just doesn't make any sense to me. But I don't even want to, like, even, I guess, put him as a scapegoat. Like, we don't deserve to win. We don't deserve to win, guys. Like, we don't deserve to win. The amount of times that I've seen Aaron Gordon hit us with a baseline backdoor cut is ridiculous, guys. It's ridiculous. He probably, no joke, had, like, probably, like, how many? Six backdoor cuts, right? I was going to say, he probably had, like, 10 to 15 points just off baseline backdoor cuts. And it's crazy because, you know, as basketball players, especially as NBA players, you got to pick up on things. Like, the game is all about picking up on things. All right, cool. That's what you're doing. All right, let me eliminate that. Let me take that away. Oh, okay, you adjusted and went with this. All right, I got this for you. It's all about adjusting. And it's like the same thing kept happening, and we just didn't adjust. It was like, you know, when the analogy of the saying, like, when a kid keeps hitting his head on a door, but the kid just keeps going through the same door. That's literally what it felt like. It was like, yo, do y'all not see what's going on here? Like, am I the only one that's sitting on my couch that sees what's going on? Does Darvin Ham not see what's going on? Does the Lakers players not see what's going on? Our defense was ridiculous, and there's just no excuse. And at this point, I just hope it's at least Nuggets in five, so my prediction can still be right, and maybe I can win that $1 million from the NBA Bracket Challenge.
But I'm going to tell you right now, John, if the Lakers do win a championship, I'm hopping on a plane to Australia, and I'm going to renegotiate my home and car loans with Xbox, because I know he'll be such a good mood. He's going to get me a very sweet rate, and we'll just leave it at that. But also, here today, good man indeed. He did suffer through all of us on Playback, playback.tv/LakersFastBreak, with all of us that were there. And again, big shout out to Henry Hill, Laker Nick, Frank the Tank from Houston Chop Shop, also as well, of course, Magic Man Sean Grice, and everybody else there in the chat, Alan, Cool Bro, Aussie. You guys were all awesome. You guys, Rough Artist, all of you are awesome for being there with us. It is Joe Soro. Joe, great to have you here. Like you said throughout, same old story, man. No changes were made. Absolutely none in that second half. We saw the same thing repeat itself. Like you said, I would have loved to have gone, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall during that film session to see what exactly they were truly working on.
I don't think you needed to be a fly. I think we already know what happened, and it was absolutely nothing. Fractured team is just that. What fixes a fracture? Well, let's say it's a fracture on the foot, you put a cast on the foot and you let it heal. Problem is, in an NBA season, it's hard to heal when, you know, depending on how bad the fracture is. If it's a hairline fracture, you can get by a little bit and manage, even if you don't have a depth or if you don't have certain players that are going to be game in and game out effective. But what you had with this team is you've had a Chris Mim-like ankle fracture. For those of you who don't know what the hell I'm talking about, Chris Mim was a former LA Laker right after Shaq had been traded. He broke his ankle, and that was the end of his career. And right now it's looking like the Lakers are going to have to find themselves firing another coach. How many coaches is this in the last decade? Five. You know who fires that kind of coach that many times? Usually the Clippers. The Clippers were hiring Bob Weiss and Vinny Del Negro and all these type of coaches. And again, no disrespect to Bob Weiss and no disrespect to Vinny Del Negro. I'm sure they're great people. But unfortunately, these guys aren't going to necessarily be game changers, right? At least from the coaching standpoint. And the Lakers have managed to outdo themselves from the massive mistake of the Russell Westbrook trade by hiring Darvin Ham. Darvin Ham, and I have to say this, I was there when Randy Fund took over the Lakers. And the defense for Randy Fund is, I don't think the Lakers were prepared for Mike Dunleavy to go to Milwaukee. No one ever goes from LA to Milwaukee. So Milwaukee had to basically give up half their damn team to get Mike Dunleavy, but that's a story for another time. But so I think, you know, Randy Fund was kind of thrown in there just because they didn't know what to do at that point. And that happened to be one of the few teams that the Lakers had that had no talent and very little opportunity to do anything. I can say with all honesty that this is the worst coach that I've seen in a Laker in 33 years of watching the Lakers, because he had talent. He has talent on this team. He's got LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and he's managed to absolutely run a negative clinic like I have not seen in a team where you have five guys on it at one time, and two of them are perennial all-stars that can still play. And yet you cannot run an offensive set to save your life. You can't motivate LeBron for some weird reason to play defense. And it's sad to see AD, who played his ass off, not really get anybody to back him up there as well. There's capabilities that aren't there. Guys like Austin Reeves, he's not capable of being able to stay in front of somebody like a Michael Porter Jr. or an Aaron Rodgers or Aaron Gordon. You have Rui Hachimura, who's limited. But if you are a good coach, I think you could put him in spots that would make sense at his skill set so that he helps your team. But there's nothing like that going on. The depth, unfortunately, was hit tremendously with injuries. It seems like our training staff continuously can't keep guys healthy, young guys healthy, which is really sad. And it's just not a surprise tonight that they ended up doing what they did. The Lakers are going to lose Saturday night, and I won't be here Saturday night, folks. Even if the Lakers had won tonight, I am not going to be available Saturday night. And it looks like destiny has aligned the stars for me to where it's not going to matter whether I do or not. And the Lakers are going to go into another season where they've been swept. The last time that happened was in the year 1998 and 1999. Right? And that was with Shaq and Kobe on the team. Oh, and Eddie Jones then, or at least in 98, Eddie Jones and Nick Van Exel, who were all-stars in 1998. And what they did was they finally submitted to understanding that they're going to have to pay for the best coach possible at that point. And they went ahead and got Phil Jackson, and the rest is history. So a public service announcement for Jeannie Buss and the Laker family, your dumbasses are going to need to find the right coach and not someone who's tied to your ass in the past. Please get the right goddamn coach this time. Make sure they know what they're doing. If you got to hire a coaching firm, if you got to go beg Jerry West to talk to you behind the scenes to help you, if you got to call Pat Riley and say, Pat, who's the next big something
besides that'd be tampering,
but it's cousins and talking to your aunts and talking to your second cousins about who to hire. Okay, get the right goddamn coach. You still have a very capable Anthony Davis who has been shunned by this league because of you guys and the fact that most of the voters are all from those pieces of shit up in the Northeast and via Ohio. Yes, that's where they're from. And I'm going to find you guys all. When I get a bigger forum, I'm going to call all you a-holes out and make sure that your votes make sense so that I don't have to deal with watching Fred Hickman's all over the place. For those of you who don't know what the hell I'm talking about, Fred Hickman voted for Allen Iverson in 2000. He was the only one that didn't vote for Shaq for MVP. And Shaq's season in 2000 is arguably the greatest statistical season in NBA history. First in scoring, second in rebounding, third in blocks, won finals MVP, regular season MVP, all-star MVP, won the championship. Yet Mr. Hickman decided, you know what? I think Allen Iverson's more valuable. When you give stupid votes to stupid reporters, journalists, whatever, this is what you get. Now, back to the Lakers. Jeannie, Rob, and all you fake-ass you-know-whats, get off your ass today, tonight. Get away from your little puppies and your dogs and your bullshit. Start finding a coach after Saturday night. Because if you don't, yeah, you'll make your money. Yeah, the Lakers will continue to go up in value, but you will be a shitty team with a shitty coach winning nothing. And that's your future. You want to be the Chicago Bulls post 98? You're starting to create it now. And the sad thing is, at least the Bulls sucked most of those years because they had no talent. You have talent. You have the best big man in my book from the power forward position in the NBA. And then you have a very, very, very good player in LeBron James. That's all that's left, guys.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. The Lakers do lose 112-105. It is Joe Soro, John Costa, Sean Grice, along with me, Gerald Glassford. Thanks so much again for watching this big crowd tonight. If you do like what we're doing here at the Lakers Fast Break, because we do have the best opinions out there, and big shout out to Sports Baby for the donation right he put right there, the big super chat. He says he's going to make his own membership for this channel for $31 a month to support us. It really helps us out. I want to go ahead and take a moment for all the loyalty that Sports Baby has gives us all the way down under in Australia. Big shout out to you, Sports Baby. It is, of course, the Lakers Fast Break. Please like, follow, and subscribe. It truly helps us out here at the Lakers Fast Break. So Magic Man, I bring it back to you. I know we're angry. I know the emotions are running high right now. I know the frustration level in our crowd tonight is also at a maximum. I get it. I understand it. As I've been telling you and you've been saying, and Joe to an extent as well, this is an organizational problem from the top down. It's no, you know, people are looking for someone specific to blame. No, it's not one specific entity. The reason why the Lakers are in the situation they're in starts at the top and goes all the way down. It matriculates. The problems matriculate. The bad decisions, it matriculates all the way down. So we will spend a great portion of our summer talking about how we can go ahead as a organization to try and make things better. But the question is, Magic Man, as I unmute you now, will they listen? Will common sense prevail?
Short answer, no, with an if. Long answer, yes, with a but. Which one would you like, Joe?
Either one. We've got plenty of time. Okay. I'm here all night.
Okay.
Please tip your waitress.
Short answer, no, with an if. No. If they do not decide that this situation is now untenable. If they can still tolerate this kind of, and it's not even, I wouldn't even use the word mediocrity, Gerald. It's mediocrity. Mediocrity. Since 2018, 2019, the Lakers are 264 wins, 217 losses. Now that's a winning percentage of almost 61%. That being said, take the 52-19 season out of that equation, you're below 500. You are below 500.
Well, we've talked under the Genie era how many times we have not made the playoffs.
With a caveat, you've made the playoffs once since then. You've had to have three play-in appearances and win that game to get into the playoffs, and you have two missed playoffs. Now, 2018, 2019, don't need to go back in time. LeBron injures his groin. We were a 4 seed, Gerald. if and nuts were candies and nuts, right? So regardless, there's just an organizational, it seems like they're resigned to being mid in their coaching hires, mid in their management decisions. Genie makes mid decisions. I mean, my God, it had nothing to do with the encore performance, but hiring Jake Paul as a sort of sponsor for the Lakers, it's just really tacky. And it speaks to a lot of tacky decisions that matriculate downward. Tacky and cheap. Those are kind of two words that come to mind right now when I think of Lakers ownership. Tacky and cheap. And when I think of the management, I think insecurity. Rob Pelinka is very insecure. He is a very insecure executive. Constantly blaming other people for decisions he's made. Frank Vogel is the head coach of the last Los Angeles Lakers championship team. Frank Vogel didn't assemble the retirement home squad. That was a Rob Pelinka decision. Didn't involve Vogel whatsoever. And at the end of that season, when you finish 33-49, you fire Vogel. You fire him. And this is after you were given an extension by Lakers ownership. Jeannie Buss didn't give Rob Pelinka an extension after he won a championship. Jeannie Buss gave Rob Pelinka a contract extension after he traded for Russell Westbrook. Well, what does that tell you? Well, Gerald, it reminds me of a song that Trent Reznor wrote for the Nine Inch Nails, and I won't repeat the last part of it, but it's Star Fudgers. And
great band, by the way.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Live performance, second to none, Gerald, second to none. That's the word that popped into my head when that happened. It's like, wait a minute. Those two guys guided us to a championship. You reward Pelinka, but you leave Vogel out on a island by himself? Well, what a shock. What a shock that he's the one that gets the blame for that. So then you hire Pockets after an exhaustive search, right, Gerald? It was exhaustive. Yeah, right. Pelinka picked up the phone, probably called up about two people who probably weren't interested. And yeah, we went through an exhaustive, his words, not mine, an exhaustive interview process. And it was, what was the word, Gerald? What was that word? It was unanimous that Darvin Ham was going to be the coach of the Lakers. So that means Jeannie Buss, Rob Pelinka, the Rambi. Way to go, Kurt. Way to go. You're twice the crappy executive as you were as a coach. They decided it was unanimous that Darvin Ham was going to be the next head coach of the Lakers. Buffoonery. And here we are. And here we are. Pelinka, again, hires the wrong coach. And as Frank from the Chop Shop astutely pointed out, the Lakers at least had a purpose and a scheme last year when it came to playing big. This year, it's a hodgepodge of small guys, big guys, and there's no blend. They don't blend. They don't mix. They don't coagulate. And now we're stuck in a rut and the car has just died, Gerald. And the chain that you want to use to get out of the ditch, that's been ripped off along with the fender. And it's raining, so you can't even call a tow truck to get you out of that ditch. That's how bad it is right now.
Pretty bad right now, my friend. It is, of course, the Lakers fast break. The Lakers do lose tonight's game, 112 to 105. They're down 3-0. John, let me get it back to you, my friend. After the game, the reporters went to the various players in regards to the atrocious performance in the series for the Lakers in the third quarter. They've been outscored by 31 as a total when you combine all three quarters. 34 to 22 tonight, 25 to 20 on Monday, and 32 to 18 in game one. Let me ask you this. When it comes right down to it, I like the words that were thinly veiled the other day by Anthony Davis. It gets even more thinly veiled right here when it comes to Gabe Vincent. So listen to this. Gabe Vincent on the third quarters. I think they, meaning Denver, get more detailed, a little bit more locked in than we are coming out of the half. And with Austin Reeves, he said the third quarters have been atrocious. Right there should be the big sign to everyone out there on how bad the coaching staff prepares teams to come out in that third quarter.
That really should. That really should. Because you know what? Like, I even have this here on my game notes. It seems like Denver just simply like starts trying in the third quarter. Like that's really what it looks like. The analogy that I thought of when I was watching the game was like, if I were to go play like basketball with some like elementary school kids or something like that, or like some middle school kids, you know, I let them score the first, like, let's say we're going to 12. I let them score the first like 9 points. And then I'm like, all right, cool. Now you guys aren't scoring any more points. Like, that's really what it felt like. You think, and it's crazy to admit that, because we're not talking about some rec league. We're not talking about some adult league. We're talking about the NBA, the elitist of the elite. And the Denver Nuggets just simply decide when to turn it on and when to turn it off. And for Gabe Vincent saying that, for Austin Reeves saying that, that absolutely points to the lack of coaching, because you know what's going on. It's whatever's happening in that first half is happening in the first half. The Lakers are probably feeling good. Darvin Ham's like, wow, my game plan's working. And then Mike Malone is just taking notes all, you know, first half, just taking notes like, oh, okay. Okay, this is what they're doing right here. Okay, they're switching. Okay, they're blitzing. He's just figuring out what you're doing. Comes into halftime. Him and his coaching staff got a whole game plan, a whole shebang as to how they're going to beat what the Lakers are doing. And then Darvin Ham, being a coach but disciple, we know he do, Mr. Hard-headed himself. He's like, oh, I'm just going to keep doing what I was doing in the first half. And then Mike Malone, because of his great coaching staff and the Denver Nuggets and their coachable players, they come out and they shut down whatever it is that the Lakers had going on. And Coach Darvin Ham is just sitting there with his hands in his pocket saying, oh, yeah, let's just keep doing what we were doing in the first quarter. And it ends up in us getting absolutely mollywopped every third quarter. But real quick, I do want to add something really quick. Andy Morris, so he's here in the chat. He said something that really kind of bothered me. He said, I'm sorry, guys, but the bubble championship doesn't really mean much. I just want to add something. I know we're not talking about the bubble, but I just want to add something to this. People that say that, respectfully, they know nothing about basketball. Like, they know nothing about basketball. If you really believe that bubble championship didn't matter and if it was easy, you're not in tune with reality.
Well, it's
you
just think, like saying to San Antonio fans that their strike-shortened season championship should mean less than the other championships.
I'm going to be honest with you. I probably was before I was even alive that cut short season. But this 2020 season, the 2020 season that we won, when people say that, like, they don't have a grasp of reality. They don't have a understanding of reality. And I'm going to just put people in tune real quick with that. these are not robots, okay? This is not NBA 2K. Like they're not just like sleeping and then the second it's time to play, they wake up and they're playing basketball. Like these people have kids and wives and dogs, and they live a life outside of the basketball court, okay? And the bubble put them in a environment that they've never been in their whole life. I mean, you could just look at LeBron James for an example. The man was in the NBA for I think like 18 years prior to the bubble, and then he had a routine, right? He had a routine that he was doing for 18 years prior to the bubble. And then he goes to the bubble. Now everything changes. And this is not only just for LeBron. This is for every single player in the league. Paul George famously talked about how the bubble, he couldn't handle the mental pressure. So for people that say the bubble championship doesn't matter, people that say the bubble championship was easy, has an asterisk, you guys just clearly don't understand what real life basketball is. And I just had to add that out there, because if anything, that championship should be one of the hardest championships of all time. You took players out of their element and put them in a new element and still asked them to perform. So just wanted to add that. But as far as this game and this season, it's over, guys. Let's just start thinking of off-season topics. And then also, real quick, Joe, I'm right on board with you, brother. Darvin Ham is hands down the worst coach I have ever seen the Lakers. And I've seen Luke Walton, I've seen Byron Scott, I've seen Mike D'Antoni, I've seen a lot of bad coaches. And he's absolutely up there for the worst coach ever in the Lakers.
So I ask you, Joe, and once again, it is the Lakers fast break. The Lakers do unfortunately lose 112-105. They're down 3-0. The game 4 is on Saturday, and whoever's here will be here, but I will be here for the Lakers fast break. Joe may not be here. He may be having a nice evening trying to distract himself after what went on today, but I want to ask your favor. I want to ask your thoughts on this. What's the advice you would give for those individuals going to the crypt on Saturday? What advice for you would you give them on how to conduct themselves, or maybe even to chant at Jeannie Buss to try and get a bigger, louder message on what you want to get across on Saturday?
Don't show up.
Okay.
But they want to take selfies and see themselves on the Jumbotron, so that's not likely.
Do the dance cam and all that.
Yeah, so they can go home or go on their social media and show their pictures to a bunch of jerk-offs that don't give a shit about them. That's the reality of that. As far as the Lakers showing up, I don't know if they will. They haven't showed up in six of the, maybe seven out of the 12. Yeah, seven. Problem is those other five were the ones that Denver dominated in and ended up getting three wins. Sometimes you just gotta just end it. End this thing Saturday. You already quit pretty much half the year anyways. Darvin Ham and his Laker fans are to life and death on each game. it would have taken every... It would have taken every piece of nice talk to get me to not respond to that if I was in the room with Darvin Ham. It's the evidence is right there on why. There is nothing being hidden here. You have an incompetent coach who has absolutely no idea what he's doing and absolutely no idea how to speak. And then you have LeBron James who refuses to play defense. Anthony Davis played his rear end off and tried to guard two other guys, which he's been doing for the last 2 years. Austin Reeves trying his best, just not athletically gifted enough to keep up. D'Lo, much like a Samsung or LG fridge, sometimes the ice works, sometimes it doesn't.
No, mine works all the time, thank you. And mine
doesn't. Yeah, mine works, Joe. Come on, Joe. Come on.
Gerald,
you must have had bad fridges. That's up to you.
I'm making an example here.
Well, I'm just trying to tell you that
this is not about "I told you so" sincerely, Gerald. Glassford.
Well, I told you so. My Samsung, you want to go ahead and see it? It's right over there.
I mean, I'm talking about ice in a machine, and you're still talking about how you told us something about it. This is the first time I've ever mentioned a fridge and ice, yet Gerald told us about it.
You said Samsung and LG. I'm just telling you, my Samsungs work fine. You put a blanket over everything. I know you get the point. I'm just trying to mess with you. Go ahead. It's okay.
I'm waiting to see the reaction. What is the reaction to this? I don't watch the Pulse game stuff anymore. I used to. I don't mind listening to Anthony Davis. LeBron, half the time, I'm okay with him. Darvin Ham, I can't. I'll end up buying new TVs every day and I don't break stuff too, by the way. I don't put my hands through walls like an idiot or, you know, all that stuff. I'll punch the air. That's the exit. Cause I like my stuff. I don't do that, but that guy might actually be the exception. But, Jeannie Buss, is showing that she's just as incompetent as her brother was in terms of, player personnel, or at least, implementing somebody with the knowledge and the ability to do that. Rob Pelinka, I hate to go this route. I think it's important to understand this for everyone that's listening. I know we love Kobe. We miss him, and he was still a human being. Not everybody's perfect, and we all probably understand that as adults. But there are two things that bothered me about Kobe Bryant now that I've had a chance to see Rob Pelinka. One was I didn't like the fact that Kobe didn't get along with his family. I think that was not a good thing. It's not something that made me feel good, considering how close he is with his immediate family. I thought his relationship with his family, his mother and father not being good, wasn't good. Said something weird about that. The other is Rob Pelinka. And the fact that he was close to this guy. We knew this guy was a snake oil salesman at the press conference for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He was saying things at that press conference that sounded like one. And he seems to have snake oiled his stay here even more. And if Jeannie wants to go win championships, because you can't fire the owner, unfortunately. And I'm not going to call her a governor. Governor gets elected. No one elected that lady to be the owner of the Lakers, okay? She took over like a princess would take over a dead queen, right? It's a monarchy. It's not a – this is not a democracy. This is not a republic, okay? So you guys really screwed that one up with your stupid governor lingo BS. I would like her to go find someone that knows basketball and that is young with the basketball thing, like understands today's stuff. And if you can do that, we're willing to be patient so that you can build with this. If she came out and said, look, guys, we're going to try to build around AD a little bit here, but we're probably going to, you know, trade LeBron or whatever and form the next setup. Hey, I'll wait. At least you're trying to do something. But put somebody in that position that knows what they're doing. And if you don't believe that that will work, if you get the right people, all you got to do is talk to the boys in New York, Leon, Worldwide West, and that whole crew over there in three short seasons, what they've done to the Knicks. The Knicks right now, if they have a couple things go their way, I know they lost tonight because Embiid went nuts. Just one of those games where sometimes the great ones, can salvage one. But if the Knicks win that series and have a couple things go their way, it wouldn't be a surprise that they make it to the finals. Now, I don't think they're going to win it, but it wouldn't be a surprise, especially with the weak-ass East. And you couldn't even if they went to the Eastern Conference Finals, the fact that they were dog doo-doo for how long, except for 1 year, the last 20 years, hey, if you get the right people, you can turn this around pretty quick with new talent. But if you're going to continue to do the same thing over and over again, like this year has been, which is not getting offensive rebounds, standing around and watching, not moving around, not consistently running sets, not playing defense LeBron James half the game. If you don't want to play defense LeBron, then maybe you should sit on the bench at that point. Like, if you don't have the energy to play defense, then maybe you need to sit with your coach and say, "Coach, if you want me to play both sides, I need to play 29 to 30 minutes." Now, Darvin Ham did try to do that game one, coincidentally, against the Denver Nuggets. Didn't work out. But maybe it would have worked out over time if the team got used to playing a certain way and if you knew how to run sets and you knew how to motivate and you knew how to inspire. You know, coaching isn't just X's and O's. Phil Jackson wasn't known as an X's and O's guy. That's why he had Tex Winter with him, okay? He was a guy that got in here. He got in here. You think Nick Saban was talking 30 counters, 32 counters, 30 powers, run a slant, run a two-yard out? Like, no! Watch guys like Nick Saban, Phil Jackson, Bill Belichick. Watch how they communicate and how they prepare their teams. I'm not expecting Darvin Ham to be that, though, but can you do a little bit of it at least?
One thing I want to ask Sean, though, but first, before I do, I wanted to go ahead and give a shout out to Embiid. Whatever, regardless you think of Embiid, Sean, and everyone out there, you got to give him credit for playing, scoring 50 points on a week that he had a bout of Bell's palsy. And if you don't know what Bell's palsy is, it could get real serious. For my pro wrestling background, as far as covering it for so many years, I'm familiar with it from the great Jim Ross. Has been suffering it from decades. So that is something that could get very serious for him. And to go out and still score 50, despite his injuries, despite the Bell's palsy, I give him credit for doing that today. But getting back to the Lakers, Magic Man, again, a lot of issues that need to be addressed. I know I threw out already for weeks now, I've thrown out, candidates. I had in recent weeks found out that Tim Connelly, who built the Denver and now Minnesota teams, may have an opt-out at the end of the season. So just throwing that into the mix, whether you guys like them or not, could be a possibility there if you were a smart owner. But then again, as we've seen with Jeannie Buss, she doesn't always make the smart decisions, Magic Man.
No, Gerald, it's usually there's some type of feelings. Like, she gets in her feelings, the heartstrings. Like, I understand what Joe meant by the whole puppies reference when it comes to people like Jeannie. So you gotta be cold. You gotta be cold and calculating in a move like this, Gerald. Cold and calculating, and it needs to be said that she doesn't come across as the queen of steel, but she needs support from people around her because let's face it, Gerald, most of the Buss family, except for Jim, is content for the most part, except for two.
Isn't he running for president or something like that?
That's Johnny.
Oh, Johnny. Okay.
Yeah, Johnny's running for president.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, Johnny Buss, next president of the United States. But other than Jim, most of the Lakers family is satisfied and content with what they do. Johnny does his thing. Jeannie is, involved in the most of the charities that the Lakers are involved with. But there are two young men who have been sort of kept at a distance, and that's Joey and Jesse. Now, Joey and Jesse also happen to be the youngest of the siblings. So they have a lot of input here because they're going to be running the team And the bosses have said they are emphatically, Gerald, that they are not looking to sell. So that means that Joey and Jussie Buss are the future of the Lakers. You need to involve them in decision making, regardless of whether or not. I know Joe's making that face, but the fact of the matter is that you have to involve them at some point. If it's sooner rather than later, then maybe they get some mistakes out of the way and continue on, Gerald, because they are the future of the Lakers. They are the future of the Lakers. The future of the Lakers is Joey and Jussie. Janie is satisfied doing her thing. Jim will never be involved with the Lakers again in any capacity. Johnny as well, because they both tried to coup Jeannie. And that's a story for another day, Gerald. But the fact of the matter is that she needs to involve her younger siblings in these decisions because she desperately needs help. And I know Joe was making that face, but the fact of the matter is that Joey and Jussie were integral to making the Bakersfield Jam and now the Defenders into a perennial developmental team. They were respected minds. They're the ones that found Alex Caruso.
These you wanted guys, me to go ahead and put that up, Joe? There you go. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah. They are also the guys who have been by the way, I looked back, Gerald. Rob credits Joey for turning them on to Colin Castleton.
Who turns them on? Who gets credit for turning them on to JHS and Maxwell Lewis?
Well, we don't know that, Gerald, because quite frankly, they're not
Colin
listed.
Castleton yeah, hasn't but done
Gerald,
it.
Gerald, to be fair to Joey and Jussie, they're not listed as Lakers executives.
But Colin Castleton, well, I've seen them out when they were there here in Nevada, here at the arena with Wembanyama. Let me finish this.
Sure, sure.
Colin Castleton, yes, however much promise he played in Summer League, that's great, and then G League, that's great. He didn't do jack squat for us this season. Okay, so until he proves himself on the court, how much can you take?
Project. Talking about? Project.
Yes. Project. Do we have this LeBron at time at 39 for Project?
Was So when Alex Caruso came from the Oklahoma City organization, was he ready? He was not.
Triple J scoring 20 plus for the Miami Heat, he was ready.
Joey and Jussie are not the GMs of the Lakers. They are scouts. That's their official title. They're both scouts, and Joey runs the G League team. That being said, Gerald, all a scout does is write down his or her analysis and hand in reports to the executives. It's then up to the executives to make that decision. I think it's grossly unfair, particularly because there's no evidence that you could point to say, yep, Joey and Jussie were involved in unless you want to read into the weeds on what Pelinka was saying. And how does everybody know that Pelinka isn't CYAing himself? And for those of you out there who don't know what CYA means, it means cover your ass.
So let me ask you this, and I appreciate, again, your great thoughts out there. What does the great Joe Soros say about times like these? He's in the results business.
Mm-hmm.
So Joe, go ahead, my friend. I'll unmute you now. So again, I'm not seeing great results lately from anything the buses have had put there, if it's actually put out on the court.
I'm going to placate Sean's comments about Joey and Jussie. Okay. I think he made a phenomenal argument for them, and they have benefited in talent evaluation. So I will retract my comedy with that and say, okay, I'll let that marinate. We'll see if there's a future there where they can start making some executive decisions. Because at this point, if those guys are as good as they've been in their positions, that might be our only hope if this nepotism thing continues to be the dominant decision maker.
Okay.
There is no other way at this point. What are you going to do? You're going to have to deal with the fact that this team is run by who else has a family dominated the Bidwells, the McCaskies, Spanos,
Steinbrenners.
The Steinbrenners, let me get to that one real quick, but the Browns and Cincinnati, and I don't like any of those organizations. And those organizations have been notorious for not...
Frank says the Jerry Jones boys.
Jerry Jones is an entity in himself. the fact that everyone is destroying Dak Prescott and have destroyed Tony Romo and have destroyed every single player that's ever worn a Dallas uniform the last 25 years, yet no one is destroying Jerry Jones. Yes, they talk about it on the TV, and you've got the Stephen A. Smiths yapping all day, but the people that are there at AT&T Stadium and the people in Dallas-Fort Worth and the people all over these places in Texas that are angry that the Cowboys haven't reached an NFC Championship game since 1996. Well, folks, you keep giving them money, and the Dallas Cowboys continue to be number one on the Forbes list as far as worth in the entire planet when it comes to sports franchises. Stop speaking out your culo and start speaking with this, but you won't because you want to do this at the stadium. Right? So you can post it. So you can show everyone, yeah, I was at the stadium. Yeah, I went to Dallas. Yeah, I'm cool. Like me. There you go. That's your life. Enjoy your no appearances where it matters. And as far as Genie Buss is concerned, I've been waffling, and this is the part where Sean has rolled his eyes when I've retracted, and I deserve to get slapped for that the two or three times I've done it, and I'm probably gonna have to allow Sean to do that when I do see him face to face, because at this point it's not gonna happen again. Genie Buss is way in over her head at this point. The only thing that can save her is if she brings in the right people, and until that happens, the Lakers will continue to be an excuse-ridden organization with terrible leadership and substandard execution.
Frank says you questioned his fandom when he said he's not going to watch the Cowboys anymore.
Guys, you have to speak with your pocketbook, but no one does it. No one does it. Now, we know we're a problem too. We are enabling Genie to continue to do what she's doing. The only reason why we can rationalize this is because we are entertaining people here, and people enjoy watching us talk about this. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword. I don't know how to go about that. I'm struggling watching these games. I've watched every Laker game this year, and I've struggled watching probably 30 to 40% of them, and I probably wouldn't have watched. And there was a 11-year period where I didn't miss a Laker game at all. I loved watching the Lakers. I looked forward to watching them. But this last 7 years, there's been a major struggle watching this team because they're just not the culture, the attitude, you go from watching Magic at the tail end of his career to watching even those guys from 92 to 96, the Nicky V's, the Eldon Campbells, the Vlades, the Terry Teagles, the Saddell Threets. Man, those guys played their
ass. CeCe, yeah.
They played their asses off, and they squeezed every bit of their talent out, even though we knew they weren't going to be championship worthy. They squeezed it, and we love those guys for it. And then, of course, 96 and beyond, we all know where that went. And then you go from that to... because we've seen it all. We've seen both sides. Yet we're seeing people who shouldn't be playing this lazy mentally and saying they are the best and they're really not. And if you're not going to be able to play at that level, then you might as then what are you doing? Are you just here to collect the check? Are you here to just be more famous? Well, I don't really give a shit about that. I'm here to watch Lakers win championships, not or at least compete for a championship.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. So with that said, Magic Man, Saturday's game, it's going to be one for the ages in regards to how the fans will respond. And we got a little glimpse of it earlier today during the course of the fourth quarter. With every miss the Lakers were making, it seemed to get louder and louder and louder between boos and the fire hams. So I ask you, my friend, how loud and obnoxious do you think it might get on game four? Should the same path be followed again by the Lakers and the Nuggets?
Okay. So what's the max capacity at a game, Gerald? What is it? 21,000?
I think isn't it 18?
18,7 or something?
Yeah, just under 19, I think.
Yeah. So a few rabble-rousers don't make a mob. A few thousand gets your blood boiling. About 10,000 yelling that. That's an angry mob, Gerald. And you got to give the people what they want. Famous OJ song, by the way, great song. You have to give the people what they want. But this isn't about us. We've been, especially yourself and Joe have been clamoring that. And I don't like him either being the head coach. My voice hasn't been as loud as, my two, friends and panelists here. Yeah, if Laker fans really want him gone and they're not paying attention, their stupid ass phones taking pictures. Hey, we're down 0-3. Hey, how we doing? Then get loud. And most people won't do this, but again, we had Frank from the Chop Shop on, who I thought made a great point, and it really struck me, is that he said fans used to have shame for the results business that their teams were devolving into. You know, we all remember the old Saints and Colts, right, Joe? The bags on the head, fire Jim Mora, fire Mike Ditka. There was something to be said about at least you're showing up to watch that trash, but you're also sending a message that that you think your team is garbage or run very poorly. And I don't think Jeannie understands that, Gerald. I really don't. I think that, in 2024 now, you could still live in a bubble, but you can't live in a vacuum anymore. You have to understand that while you are still in your little circle of friends or clique, there are other cliques. And when those other cliques get loud and make their voices heard, you have to eventually listen to what they're saying. You may not like it, but you have to listen to it. And if a Fire Him chant breaks out with 8 minutes left in the third quarter and the Nuggets are up 63-45, I'm all for it. I hate to say it. I really hate to say it. The fact is that this team will be better off without Darvin Ham than with him.
So your thoughts, Joe, on this, when it comes to Darvin Ham, the inevitable happens because no team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit. If at least in NBA history, to the best of my recollection, Ham, the Lakers season will be over sooner rather than later, most likely on Saturday, or if at the very least they win Saturday in game five. Will Ham be fired? Do you have no doubt about Ham being fired? Because I have some doubt that Genie will pull the plug on Darvin Ham's career as a Lakers coach. Not that she shouldn't, because she should. I'm just not sure she will. Your thoughts on if Darvin Ham will get fired when the season actually ends?
I don't think she can handle the scrutiny for an entire summer with him staying there. I think there'll be enough noise where she'll be forced to let him go.
I hope so.
My worry is that she's not going to find the right coach, because she's not putting the right people in charge to find the right coach. If you're going to depend on Rob Pelinka again to make that decision, you are going to find the wrong coach again.
Will she let go of Pelinka?
That's probably more likely not to happen because of the connection between him and Kobe. Okay. And this is a lesson also to everyone, folks. We love our celebrities sometimes a little too much. And I loved Kobe's tenacity and his work ethic and what he gave the Lakers and the entertainment and all. But again, no one's perfect. And this is one of the dark spots for Kobe's involvement. I'm not a fan of Rob Pelinka. I think he's a snake when it matters. Genie has kind of shown her true colors. We've talked about this several times with her pulling some BS with trying to get money back from employee stuff during COVID. And by the way, that's not just Genie. Tom Brady, I'm talking to you, Reese Witherspoon, P. Diddy, Kim Kardashian, all these, hold my tongue on that one. The ones that needed that was my cousin running a restaurant. He's a small business. That's what that was for. Not for you multi-millionaire, billionaire, a-hole pieces of shit. So she's in that group, even though she did return the money because she got the backlash. And that is proof right there, folks. That is proof. And you guys are going to laugh at this, but this is something that this is an observation skill that I've developed being around people. My business, I'm in homes regularly, almost daily. All kind of people, married people, old people, middle class, rich, poor, all kinds of people. You learn a lot about people's habits. You learn a lot about personalities. And one of the things that I've noticed that when people are overly affectionate to animals and don't like people are generally the problem when it matters the most. They can't make good decisions. They don't have good relationships with people. They don't have the ability to communicate with anybody except their close friends who always tell them what they want to hear. Okay. I'm not surrounded by anybody that tells me what I want to hear. I get told by Sean that I'm wrong. Gerald, even though he's wrong most of the time, he'll try to, tell me.
No, I'm not. I'm more than right, more than you are.
The point of the story is,
shut up, Joe.
Mr. I, is you want controversy sometimes in your life so that you can stay balanced. If I'm constantly getting my ass kissed, I'm not going to learn shit when it matters in certain instances. And I project that to others They project the back. It's important that you give that off. If you're sitting there all in your feelings and you have, oh, I'm just going to sit with my dogs and my cats because people suck. Yeah, I know people suck, but you're not going to make it better not helping those who don't suck, which there are a few out there that don't. So this is all just one big pot of trash that continues to just keep accumulating, right? And again, this is sports. This is entertainment. It's not that big of a deal, really, in the grand scheme of things. But let's learn something from this, really. What I'm telling you right now is bona fide. It's 100%er. I'm telling you guys right now, it doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, or middle class. People like Genie exist in all phases. And those are the kind of people that you have to be kind of careful of because they're the ones that actually burn you. So the small business guy that's trying to make his business work or her work, her business work, you got these kind of people who are trying to do what you're doing when they don't need it, right? And then the second they get called out, oh, it's now I want to go inside my little cocoon and I want only my friends and the people who care about me because no one's nice. Well, no one's nice because you're a freaking crook. You're a liar. You're a piece of shit sometimes. Not all the time. But you do stuff like that, we're going to think you are. And this is the result, guys. What did Pelinka say at that press conference? Oh, manos from above. And he sounded like one of those the evangelist guys. I mean, without even like a second, I remember I was watching it like it was yesterday. I'm sitting, I'm like, what the hell is this guy talking about? And it's just your instant trigger. And then you find out she did this. Then the greatest Laker of all time, arguably the greatest from every phase, player, coach, even though he could have been a good coach if he'd had a couple of things go his way. Best executive I've ever seen in my entire life in sports. And you go and you take away his tickets. And not only do you take away his tickets, you text his wife at 11 o'clock at night. You're a freaking coward. You couldn't even look him in the face. You know why you couldn't look at Jerry West in the face? Because he would have turned into, what do you say about, oh, he plays like a dog? Well, I'm the wolf. The wolf eats the dog. When you're afraid to meet someone, to tell them the truth, that you are the coward. Especially when you're in the top position. That's the hilarious part. You're the owner of a team. Jerry doesn't own a team. Why are you afraid of Jerry? So these little things start to build up, and they build up, and they build up, and they build up. And then you got a reprieve in 2020. At the beginning of that season, 1920, you try to get Ty Lue. You basically said, I'm not going to give you the contract you want. He bounces. Monty Williams, I don't know if it was a contract-related situation. He didn't want to come. Frank Vogel fell to you, and he actually happened to be the perfect coach for that team. You didn't even make that decision, really. It was like the last resort. And then everything played out the way it did. You won a championship, and then you're sitting there. Yep, we're the Lakers. We know how to do things. And then as soon as something went wrong, little by little, just kept eating and eating and eating and eating. And you wasted LeBron and AD's run. I mean, absolutely destroyed it. You would have had for sure at least two, probably three, if you just knew what you were doing. And tomorrow on Saturday night, it's likely going to be the beginning of the end for this run. Now, if you decide that you want to pay LeBron James $60 million a year, okay. I can see you doing that, but you better get some help next year. Otherwise, you're going to see one-legged LeBron all year again because he doesn't play defense. And if you're not going to cover that throughout the year, you're going to be in the same situation here. It might be somebody else because Minnesota's going to get better, folks. They're going to continue to get better. Oklahoma City's definitely going to start getting better. And if New York gets another guy, I don't know who, I don't know if they can, they're going to be a problem in the next couple of years because they have a very young team. They could just use, you know, Julius Randle's contract to go get somebody else. Who knows? I think we're going to see some movement
subscriber,
this year,
huh?
This summer.
Cool.
It's been slow the last couple of years. I think you're going to see some things shift. So there's a lot to absorb here. There's a lot of frustration right now on our part, at least for me. And it's been wasted years here the last 2-3 years. It's been a waste, and you didn't have to be in this position. So there you go.
Once again, it is the Lakers fast break. The Lakers lose 112-105. They're down 3-0. We will be back tomorrow for a show on Friday. But Sean, before we head on out, I just wanted to report my Samsung fridge still works great. I don't know about your fridge, Magic Man, but I just wanted to go ahead and mention that. But before we head on out, any final thoughts or blessings or information that you think needs to be put out there before we go ahead and try to enjoy the rest of our evening? Or is Joe doing a nightcap? Is Joe doing a nightcap at all? Is he drinking hard for what happened with the Lakers loss?
No, but I will do a nightcap on Sunday, likely after the season is over. I'll have a final nightcap on Sunday to put everything together, you know, the season in review. It'll be a 2-hour nightcap. For those of you who were watching the shows the last few weeks, we were teasing the CP3 trade info. I talked to Empire Jeff. Empire Jeff wants to do a special show in the summer for that. So Sean, Gerald, we'll keep you up to date. We'll keep you updated on that. And everyone watching, we're going to have a show on that during the summer when we can get away from whatever's going on right now. And I thought EJ made a good point. He's like, you know, let's do something in the summer where we can kind of really focus on that instead of worrying about what we've been watching here the last 6 months. And I agreed with him.
It's not like we won't have some open dates.
No, we'll definitely have open dates. And the momentum is starting to build on the show. I'm noticing the numbers are starting to, you know, increase. And I think the summer is going to be important. The draft last year was a big springboard for us. So I'm going to try to tail into that as well. And I'm crossing my fingers that in the weakest draft, arguably in the last 30 years or however many years is upon us. And maybe the Lakers can get lucky and get that one player that actually does bring something next year.
Couldn't get any worse than last year's draft. That's for sure.
I have an LG fridge and it works great.
Yeah. So does my Samsung.
LG dishwasher. Avoid. Okay. Yeah, it didn't work out.
But any last thoughts on the Lakers before we head on out, my friend?
Gerald, there have only been three teams who have come back from an 0-3 deficit to force a game 7.
Okay.
One is the Denver Nuggets. They miraculously defeated the Seattle Supersonics in 5 games. They went on in the second round to play the Utah Jazz. We're down 0-3. Came back, forced a game 7. That would have been a flashpoint for that franchise at that point, because that would have been the first time they ever reached the conference finals. They were just there. The Utah Jazz had a home game for game 7, and it was not to be. The second team that was able to do that was the Portland Trailblazers, the overrated Dallas Mavericks of the early 2000s that should have at least won one championship in between the Spurs and Lakers run, managed to blow a 3-0 to the Portland Trailblazers, the Jailblazers. Unfortunately, Zach Randolph couldn't show up in game 7, and the Mavs won that series. And the third team should be on everybody's mind. Last year, Boston Celtics down 0-3 to the Miami Heat, comeback, force a game 7. Not to be. The Heat won. They went on to play the Denver Nuggets in the NBA Finals and were thoroughly thumped. So history is not on our side. However, three teams have forced a game seven. I just don't think we're going to be the fourth.
Any thoughts on the NFL draft?
Go ahead, Joe.
We had a we had a lot of quarterbacks, six quarterbacks to be exact.
First 12 picks, six of the first 12.
And the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons, Atlanta Falconed themselves like they normally do, picking Mr. Penix Jr. With the eighth pick after just giving Kirk Cousins a nine-digit contract. Arthur Blank, I feel bad that you guys didn't win a championship in 2016, 17. But Jesus, dude, what are you doing over there? There was a lot of talent. There was a lot of talent in this draft. This draft is going to have more value in the first round than most first rounds. Most first rounds usually go half good, half busts. Now, it's not 50-50, but generally that's kind of how it works out. You could have gotten a left tackle. You could have gotten a right tackle. You could have gotten a cornerback. You could have gotten a receiver to help Kirk Cousins. Although I'm not a really big fan of picking receivers in the top 10. Normally, I think with the way the NFL rules are, you can get receivers much later and save money there. But that's, I know Marvin Harrison Jr. is someone you can't pass up. And once in a while, that's an okay pick, but it depends on the team. Now, Atlanta's situation, that would have getting another a really good receiver would have made sense. But at the same time, I think you would have been best to probably get Kirk Cousins some more help on the offensive line. And you decided to get a backup quarterback who I am not sure if he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. And you picked him eighth. That stuff sets your team back 5 years when you make that bad of a call. So you better hope Penix is the next guy. And if he is the next guy, that means you're going to end up having a lot of dead money after next year. So you're screwed either way. But I'm not a fan of Caleb Williams. I think Chicago, it was the worst place he could have gone. And I believe he's overrated. Not because he doesn't have the ability to play, but he is a mental weakling. He reminds me of Ben Simmons in a football form. The second that guy hits any adversity, he'll put on his tutu and fiddle away.
Sean, any thoughts on the NFL draft before we head on out?
Joe was very thorough in that analysis. It's hard for me to really add anything to that. A lot of movement at the bottom of the draft there, team, obviously. I just see the Chiefs picking up another weapon for Patrick Mahomes. And the Bills ended up doing what the Bills normally do in the draft, which is either trade up or down. And usually if they're trading up, they make the wrong move, excluding Josh Allen. And usually if they move down, they over-evaluate talent on the board. And that's exactly what the Buffalo Bills do. Nobody circles the wagons in the NFL draft like the 0-4 in Super Bowl Buffalo Bills.
Well, there you have it. Hopefully you'll be able to check out our show next week, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, wherever you get your podcasts, and be able to go ahead and check out the full lineup on what we think the winners and losers of the NFL draft truly are. But again, the Lakers this evening, they decided to go ahead and feel a draft of what's coming up. Could it be 1-2-3 Cancun around the corner? We'll find out as the Lakers lose 112-105 to give Denver a commanding 3-0 lead. But you know what? As I said before, please like and subscribe. Follow us. Do whatever you can to support us because we will be here. We're not leaving just because the season is on the verge of being over or when it does end. We will be here for you throughout the year as only we can right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Thank you again, Sports Baby. Big shout out to you and everyone for staying with us. Go Lakers.